Good morning. Good to see all of you. Happy spring. Man, before I get started, I just want to pray for Pastor Justin. He was actually supposed to be preaching today, but he, it sounds like, got the flu. So I got the wake-up call at 6 this morning and said, hey, man, you're going to have to cover because I can't walk. So I said, no problem. You know, sometimes preachers have those dreams, like those nightmares where they're standing in front of a huge crowd and they all of a sudden realize they didn't prepare anything to say. So this morning was just a little different spin on it. At least I got 3 hours worth of warning, so that's good. No, but it's going to be fun today. There's some things on my heart that I've wanted to share for a while that go right along with what Pastor Justin wanted to kick us off with this morning. So let's just lift him up in prayer, his family. Father, we thank you that you are the healer. Thank you that your grace rests over the Garland household. God, we just pray for Pastor Justin this morning that healing would come to him, that you would just restore his body to perfect physical health, even if his sons or his wife have been struggling with the same thing. God, we just speak your healing, your grace over them, your strength over them. We just impart supernatural abundance of health over that family. God, may the sickness cease in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 And any of the rest of you that are feeling sick, I pray the same thing. Amen. Yeah. All right. Well, this morning, I want to start off, kind of give us an introduction. Pastor Justin wanted to speak for a few weeks on a healthy soul life, because if you're not aware, a lot of our health, whether it's emotionally or even physically, comes from inside, and whether our heart is healthy or not. There's a verse in Proverbs that says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. And when your heart's sick, you can get physically sick too, and you can get mentally sick. And I know that in our world today, we're trying to figure out what's the solution to deal with our anxiety and the depression and even the suicide that just seems to plague people's thoughts and people's lives. And I believe that Jesus gave us keys, the Father gave us keys in the scripture on how to keep your soul healthy so that your whole life can be healthy, your thought life can be healthy, your heart can be healthy. Amen?
Amen.
So to kind of kick it off, if you don't know my personality, I am what the world would call type A, which means, like, I love being super organized. I like lists. I like schedules. I like routine, but I also like my house to be in order. Not just the people in my house, but just even stuff. I hate clutter. I hate messes. And you would think, well, Ben, you're crazy because you just had your third kid.
Huh. Yeah.
I love how, if you've ever watched the comedian Jim Gaffigan, I love him. He's got a ton of kids with his wife, and stand-up routine he gave, he said, if you've ever wondered what it's like to have a third kid, just imagine yourself drowning in a pool and then somebody hands you a baby. But we don't feel like that right now. We are definitely getting into the routine. I've got a couple pictures to show off of my family, just in case you want to see, because I know. So that's our little man. His name is Reese Patrick, and he is awesome. And it never gets old. Family is the best. Having kids is the best. Having our first son is the best. And then here's a picture of our family, my beautiful wife. Our middle child is Evie. And then our oldest daughter, Alexa, she's 3 and a half now. So we're living the dream. It's a full life. It's a crazy life. But we wouldn't have it any other way. What I love about my wife is she's very adventurous. And she doesn't let fear kind of take hold. She's kind of one of those women who's very independent, but in a good way. So like last week, it was Thursday afternoon. I was still here. And we're kind of getting used to our new routine because I got 2 weeks off, which I'm grateful for. But then I had to go back to work last week. So I wasn't at home with our three kids all day. And so she calls me and says, hey, I'm going to make a run to Costco with the kids. Do you need anything? And I'm just like, well, do you need anything? Are you sure you don't want to just wait until I get home? And she's like, no, I want to try this. I'm gonna load everybody up in the van. We're gonna stroll through Costco, and no matter what happens, she's like, her mentality is, I gotta get used to this. We're just gonna go for it. And so I love that about my wife. And then yesterday rolled around while I was home, and we took this trip to Bellevue with our family. And then we went to Costco on a Saturday afternoon, where if you just are looking to punish yourself, just do it. And do it with three babies. Just roll into the Costco parking lot in Covington and watch how crazy people are. Even people with no kids. People run in and out of Costco on a Saturday like, for some reason, even though Costco has never proven this, everybody thinks that they're just going to run out of stuff. You know, the shelves are stocked, but people roll through Costco on a Saturday like, this is the last shipment for a month. Everybody panic, you know? So we were rolling through Costco with all of our family yesterday, and I got Alexa and Evie sitting in the cart with my wife, and I'm pushing the stroller with baby Reese, who's sound asleep. But then Evie's just having one of those meltdown days, we call it, probably because she's got a cold and she's teething. And Evie is like our sleeper agent. She doesn't really display all the time that she's angry. She'll smile at you and then try to scratch your face. So all of a sudden we're rolling through Costco. She's crying, and then she just kind of gets quiet, and her and Alexa are sitting next to each other, and all of a sudden she just kind of looks at her older sister, smiles a little bit, and just does the cat claw. And so then it was nuclear meltdown in Costco. And people are like, do you have control of this situation or not? No, but I'm happy. It's all good.
No, not really.
So we're learning the art and the joy of raising a family. We're loving it. And so we got introduced. Actually, I got introduced, if I'm being honest, to this cool Japanese lady named Marie Kondo on Netflix a couple of weeks ago. And she is all of a sudden taking the organizational world by storm. And so I watched, there's a lot of shows that we watch, and you think my wife would want to watch this with me. And she's a very organized person too, so it's not that she's not. But I'll get like, I'll want to see something, and she's like, okay, whatever. So we probably watched two or three of these episodes of her helping people get their homes decluttered and organized. And I was just jacked up about it. I'm like, I never knew you could fold a t-shirt into a tent like that. And this is the coolest invention. You deserve to be a millionaire, young lady, just because you taught me how to fold my t-shirts right. And so we're watching this, and I get really excited. And the next couple of days, I'm like organizing the junk drawer and the clothes. And my wife is like, are you going to take this to a whole nother level? What's going on? And she has this philosophy and this saying that has become very famous and probably quite annoying at this point because everybody says it. But she says, only keep the things in your house and in your life that spark joy. And she kind of has a weird way of, I don't know, it's like she thanks everything like it's an actual person. Like, I know that my t-shirts are inanimate objects. I'm thankful to the Lord for providing me with clothes, but I don't have to thank my t-shirt. But she just, you know, folds everything, thanks it for being there. And she's like, just hold on to your stuff for a while. And if it sparks joy, every cell in your body should just be lifted. And she does this cute little, huh. And if she gets the, huh, then she folds it up and puts it in the drawer. And if it does not spark joy, then you get to get rid of it. There's freedom in purging yourself of the stuff that doesn't spark joy. So all that to say, this philosophy of organizing your physical household got me thinking a lot about what it means to declutter your soul. Amen. And the truth of it is, when we are in relationship with Jesus, like if there's an area of your life that is not brimming with hope and joy, that it's an area that you probably need to go back and have a conversation with. And say, is this really an area of my life that needs to be here? Because, right, when we're heart sick, everything about us is sick. And so there's a lot of areas of our life where Jesus and the Holy Spirit, they're saying, hey, listen, this whole room in your house, in your heart needs to get organized, because there's a bunch of stuff in there that doesn't need to be there, that it's causing you anxiety, it's causing you stress, it's causing you pain, and you need to be brave enough to get back in there and declutter.
Amen.
This is what it said in 3 John verse 2. John says, "Beloved friend, I pray that you are prospering in every way and that you continually enjoy good health just as your soul is prospering." Our health and our joy is directly related to our soul being in a prosperous place. Psalm 24, I love this psalm. I've always loved it. It says, "Through wisdom a house is built, and through understanding its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures." And so it got me thinking a lot about maybe the junk that is in the house of our soul. Jesus has a bunch of treasure in all those areas of your life. Jesus knows you. He knows your destiny. He knows your purpose. He knows who you are as a mother, who you are as a father, who you are as a grandparent, who you are as a husband, who you are as a wife, who you were created to be. And there's all this treasure that Jesus, as we sung today, already purchased for you. And it's already in your bank account. It's already in your house. But so much of the time, our houses are so full of so much stuff that is just clutter and junk, if we're honest with ourselves. But somehow we have this weird emotional attachment to it, even if it's not healthy for us. And he says, "I'm telling you, if you could declutter that room, you would find the treasure that is buried there."
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. So I want to just give us an intro today on the wisdom and the understanding to have a relationship with Jesus that actually declutters your soul, gets rid of the stuff that is causing harm to you, so that you can have a joy-filled life. Amen?
Amen.
So let's just talk for a few minutes about where joy is actually found. Because I feel that a lot of people, even Christians, are very confused when it comes to the term joy versus happiness. Happiness can be very temporary. I can be happy for 5 minutes, and then I won't be happy anymore because my middle daughter decided to try to scratch my 3.5-year-old daughter's eyes out. Happiness can be fleeting. You can be going from one moment to the next, and it's temporary. But the truth of the word says that joy is actually an eternal thing that comes from the throne of God. Where the presence of the Lord is, there is fullness of joy. So that tells me that this is actually part of who God is. It isn't just something that's based off our circumstances or the condition that we're in. It says in the Bible that before Jesus went to the cross, the reason he was able to endure that season in his life is because he was looking at the joy set before him. The Bible says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. So what is the strength that is getting you through your life in those moments? Is it just you having confidence in your own willpower and your own strength? Or is it actually the joy of the Lord? And I'm hoping that it becomes the Lord's strength in you, not your own. Because we have a limit. We have a gas tank. And once it reaches empty, some people have bigger tanks than others. And some people can hide their emotions and their struggles better than others, but that doesn't mean that they're surviving or they're making it, because everybody reaches a breaking point. And when that breaking point comes and there's a meltdown, we realize, I'm not getting my strength from the right place. Where joy is found, it says in Psalm 16, it says, "Lord, you make known to me the path of life. You fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." The presence of God is where we find joy. David said, "It is in your presence that I've found the eternal treasures," right? "That you provide for me." Not just temporary fixes, not temporary treasures, not temporary happiness, but it's in your presence that I've found the fullness of joy that I need. Amen? So joy is found in the presence of God. Psalm 19, it says, "The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart." So the precepts of God, we could also say it's the rules or the principles or the wisdom of God for precept. It's the rules, the principles, the wisdom of God that bring joy to our hearts. Why do they bring joy? Because they work. Wait, we are happy, we are joyful when things work. The Bible also says there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. Those are not joy-filled days. When you find out that what you thought you were so good at and the strategy that you had that you thought was going to work out so great for you doesn't work out and everything comes crumbling down, you don't feel joy in that moment. You feel helpless. You feel depressed. You feel alone. And you said, man, I really thought this was going to work. But David said, man, the wisdom, the truth, the presence of God has never let me down. When I listen to his precepts, when I listen to his standard, when I listen to his wisdom, my rooms, the rooms of my heart and my life get filled with beautiful things. The wisdom of God, the truth of God brings joy because it works. And then in Romans 14:17, it says, the kingdom of God is not about what we're eating or drinking, but it's about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Living under the influence of the Holy Spirit will produce joy in your life. The Holy Spirit is the partnering presence of God. The Holy Spirit is assigned to us as believers to join up with us and give us all we need to live the life that God has called us to live and Jesus has opened up to us. The Holy Spirit is meant to come and be an engine that produces joy in your life. The Holy Spirit is the one who comes to remind us, to lead us into all truth, and to remind us of what's already been taught to us through the Lord. Why would he be the reminder and why would he be the teacher? Because he knows that as we walk in truth, joy is going to fill our life. So the struggle is real. See, it's easy to understand this in theory. Yeah, God's ways are right. My ways aren't. I should start walking in God's ways. But then what gets in the way? Your soul. Because your soul has an opinion too. Your mind, your will, your emotions get into the mix and start voicing their opinion. Well, yeah, I mean, it sounds good in theory, but I'd rather try this way first. And Jesus goes, okay, if you want to go that route again, if you really want to go down that path, you know, the last relationship ended in flames, but it really felt good. Like at least for 2 months. So let's just start out there again and then just hope against all hope that even though I'm doing the exact same thing that I did the last time, I'm going to get a different result. Okay, you keep on doing that and see if it produces lasting joy in your life. We got this, long story short, my wife's family, everybody's got struggles. My wife's family's got struggles. She's always had issues. We've always had issues with her mom, you know, who's been in and out of prison in her life, addicted to different kinds of drugs in her lifetime. And we know that she's struggling right now with some substances. And so we're really praying hard for her. And we knew something was up kind of when our son was born and we just didn't hear from her. Because even though we don't hear from her much, at least in the big moments in our life, she's usually like on the phone or something. And so finally we heard back from her actually just 2 days ago. And she said, hey, I got the pictures. Thanks for sending them. I gave them to Grandma too. Just want you to know I'm so happy for you. And you're so lucky to have the life that you have. And she goes, And she's talking to her daughter, and she says, I wish I could be like you. And I just looked at my wife, and I said, you know, that is the struggle of humanity. When you're not in relationship with the Lord, you have this fatalistic view of your life, where there's no destiny involved, there's no purpose involved, it's just whatever happens, happens. And the victimhood sets in, and the discouragement sets in, and somebody who's totally trapped in themselves and in their own strength and in their weaknesses and in their vices looks at this life that, and our life is not perfect, but we love our life, and we love the presence of Jesus in our life and in our family. And people can look on to that and go, man, I wish I had that. And I just have to say, who says that you can't? It's not Jesus. But it takes effort. It takes work. And it actually takes humbling your own opinions and what you think you're capable of and what you want to do and actually doing the work to do it God's way. And so I just looked at my wife and I said, you know, your mom, she's not in a place where she understands that this isn't about luck. This isn't about, man, we just happened to find each other in the universe and everything clicked. And now we got three beautiful babies and we're doing all right and nobody's addicted to drugs. And woo! Thank you, Jesus, that we got a good hand. This isn't a poker game, people. This is, you can find joy, you can find peace when you choose to set your life up in a way that honors God and lets Him do what He wants to do in your heart. And I'm not here saying that family life is easy. Raising three babies is not an easy thing, but it's sure worth it. I wouldn't have it any other way. Because what else is my life supposed to be for? It's raising beautiful babies, having a wonderful wife, having that relational connection, but it takes an honest and deep relational connection with the Lord so we know that where our source of life comes from and where our joy comes from. So we got to choose to live under the influence of the Holy Spirit because He is talking, He's instructing us, He's leading us into truth, and when we listen to His voice, things are full of joy, things work, there's peace in our homes, there's peace in our lives. The presence of God, God's truth and His wisdom and the Holy Spirit all produce the eternal joy that is in God's presence. So now let's shift gears to talk about what steals the joy, because there are joy stealers and we all know this. We've all experienced it. A lot of what I've just said, some of you are thinking, that sounds great, but I'm not experiencing it. Here, I'll tell you some of the reasons probably why. What steals our joy? I'll put this number one, not because it's the number one thing, but it's probably the one we all relate to pretty readily, and that's anxiety. Anxiety is a huge joy stealer. Psalm 94:19. It says, when anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought me joy. I love the honesty. See, we who love Jesus and know that we're not supposed to be anxious about anything would just love to say, I never get worried. I never am anxious. I just float through life. Woo! Right? Just full of the Holy Spirit, living the high life. That's what we call youth summer camp, the high life. It's kind of fun walking through a grocery store with a t-shirt that just says, the high life on it. Because you run into people that have experienced other kinds of highs. I remember we were in Idaho at summer camp 2 weeks ago, and I was loading up the church trailer with all the summer camp gear, and this car rolls up that is picture perfect for what I'm talking about, an old Subaru with like three young adult males in it, and one guy stops the car and he gets out and he's like, dude, I love your shirt! Yeah! Like, I'm like, yeah, we just did summer camp, right on! A rainbow-colored shirt that says, The High Life. Whoa. It's awesome. When you know how to do it the right way. When anxiety was great within me, it was the consolation of the Lord that brought joy back to my heart. Come on. I still, as a leader, as a man who loves God and loves Jesus, can wake up in the middle of the night, and I do on occasion, wake up in the middle of the night. You would think coming from a dead sleep and waking up, you wouldn't instantly be anxious about stuff, but I will wake up in the middle of the night worrying about things that I wasn't even thinking about the day before. Good. And that tells me that there's an enemy of my soul that wants me to be bound by my anxious thoughts, by my worries, by the thought of, is it ever going to turn out this way? Is it ever going to be good enough? Are we ever going to see freedom here? Is there ever going to be breakthrough here? Am I ever going to be this? Am I ever going to be that? Am I going to be this kind of husband or that kind of husband or this kind of father? And I can literally wake up in a sweat worrying about things, but I've learned that instead of stewing in those things, I cry out to the Lord whose consolation can bring joy back to my heart. Right? Philippians 4:6 says, do not be anxious about anything, That's not saying that anxiousness is never going to hit your heart. It will. But Paul says, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation that hits you, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God that transcends all of your understanding and your thoughts will fill your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Right? Don't be anxious, but present your requests. So we present the request so that we can get God's consolation. We get His comfort, His relief, His support when we present those requests to God. But if you're like me, you love to bottle things up. And it really is a form of pride, I've come to figure out, because I want to just look like I got it all together. I want to look like that for my wife. I want to look like that for my kids. And so when I'm freaking out, I usually just won't say anything. I'll just come home, eat dinner, play with the kids, watch a TV show, go to bed, wake up the next day, do the same thing. And all the while, something inside of me, there's just a stewing. I can feel the pressure. And it's funny because I'm not old, I'm not out of shape, I'm not unhealthy, but I started to realize a few months ago, like my blood pressure was pretty high. I think I went into just do like a checkup, and the doctor was like, hey, your blood pressure is kind of high. And I'm like, what? It's not like I'm 300 pounds. He's like, well, there's a lot of things that can add to high blood pressure. And so I went home, and I was talking to my wife over dinner, and without even saying anything, she just goes, it's because you don't talk about anything. Like, you get stressed out, and it's not like you're telling me. So I know that you have stresses and you have things that weigh upon you, but it's because you don't get it out. And I'm like, yeah, honey, that's wisdom. So we do the same thing. There's all this pressure that bottles up, this anxiety, this fear, these unspoken things that need to get resolved, and we just carry them around thinking that just because we don't pay attention to them or try to bury them or sweep them under the rug that they're just going to go away. They don't go away. They add clutter to your soul. They add weight to your life that is not supposed to be there. That's why Jesus had to come and invite the world into a relationship with Him, and He had to say, come to Me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden. What do you think people are heavy laden with? What do you think people are worried about? All the stuff that's bottled up, all their insecurities, all their fears, all the ways that they've fallen short. He said, come to Me and you will find rest for your soul. Good word. For I'm the good shepherd. And My yoke is easy and My burden is life. And the yoke is not something that He wants to strap around your neck to keep you in line. The yoke is designed so that you work together with Him. If you do life My way, you'll find the relief that your soul is actually craving that you found no relief for in your past.
Good.
We present the request to God, and He's faithful to give us the relief. Talk openly with the Lord about what's on your heart and on your mind. And I say that thinking that it's an obvious statement, but most of us don't practice it. We just think, well, God knows what's already on my mind, so I don't need to say anything to Him. Your relationship with the Lord is not designed to be a silent one. Sometimes, some of us are not experiencing the relief that we're asking God for in our head because we haven't voiced it. He wants open and honest dialogue, just like my wife wants with me. She doesn't want to just have to assume I know what I'm dealing with. She wants me to talk to her. Because talking with her establishes trust. Talking with her establishes an openness in relationship because she knows that I trust her with the deep things that are going on in my heart. I'm not just giving her surface material. And God doesn't just want your surface material. He wants the deep things of your heart. Amen? Yeah. And He wants you to voice those things. And I know it sounds awkward talking to a God who is spirit and He's not sitting next to you in your car in the flesh, but He is your ever-present help in time of need. And as you voice your concerns and you get this stuff off of your soul, He will give you the relief that you need. Okay, the second thing I want to talk about, if we want to live with joy, is we have to. What steals our joy is we believe lies and we accept untrue information. Galatians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul's talking to the Galatian church who is kind of derailed because they've started listening to these teachers who aren't talking about grace, who aren't talking about the salvation of Jesus that Paul preached. They started relying more and more on the law and on the rules and on the outward stuff. And Paul comes to them and he gives them this statement. What has happened to all your joy? Isn't it funny that that's the first thing that he notices when he knows that something's off? Church, what happened to all your joy? I came to you before and I was struggling and I was sick and I was in pain and you would have done anything for me. You treated me like I was an angel. You treated me like I was Jesus Christ himself. Now I come to you and you're bitter and you're looking on me with suspicion and you won't do anything for me. And he says, what has happened to your joy? Who stole it? I'll tell you what steals it. Untrue, false information. And he has to go on to encourage them and says, hey, these guys may sound good, but they're feeding you information that is not from God. It's not producing life. It's not producing joy. You have to get rid of it, and you have to remember what I already taught you, because that's where the presence of the Lord was. That's where your joy comes from. So all that to say, if you're believing things about yourself and about God that are producing depression and hopelessness and shame and condemnation consistently in your life, you might need to get new teachers.
Yes, good.
You might need to actually tune into who, am I really listening to the Holy Spirit or is it some other spirit?
Yeah.
Am I really listening to the Word or is it just my own Word that I kind of made up along the way? By patch quilting things together. Because if you're sitting here today and you actually believe that God is angry with you, that he doesn't like you, that you don't deserve to be here, as Pastor Justin likes to say, you come into a church building and you're afraid it's going to cave in on you because of all the stuff you've done, that is not the God that we serve. God wants you to get your life together, but it's not because he's so angry with you, he wants to take your head off. He wants you to get your life together because he knows that's what's going to bring freedom and it's going to unlock your true destiny and it's going to bring joy back to your heart. So don't believe lies. Don't accept untrue information about who God is. A lot of our anxiety and our depression comes from believing lies about ourselves too. And we have to throw that out. And we have to constantly recite what the Word says about who we are. If you're feeling condemned this morning, you got to believe what the Word says. Those who are in Christ Jesus are no longer experience condemnation. Right? We got to focus on what God says about us. We can't afford to have space taken up in our brains or our hearts with stuff that God is not saying about us or to us. Truth will bring joy into your life. God's truth. And that comes from believing stuff about you, but it also comes from believing information that you're receiving. Just because it's coming at you doesn't mean that it's true. I don't listen, and not that I don't love people, but I can't listen to teachers or godly people anymore that are constantly telling me that this world isn't going to survive, that somehow America is never going to be a great nation, that it's too late. I mean, I've literally got family members and acquaintances who believe that are married who are not going to have kids because they believe that the world is going to end, that it's not worth bringing kids into, and I shut that stuff off. Because I know, I have a conviction, I know who God is, and it's not that. Right? We are called as Christians to constantly live in hope because we know that there are battles that we're going to have to go through in this life, but Jesus already won the war. Amen. So when you're telling me that the war is over and that evil is going to win and darkness is going to prevail and somehow I'm supposed to just be content with living a life with depression and squashed dreams because God's never going to come through, I shut that stuff off. And a lot of the times it's why I just stop watching the news. Because I'm like, man, you don't have a kingdom perspective when you just watch information coming at you. So you have to be wise enough to take the information that you're receiving and filter it through the Holy Spirit so that you can process it right. And a lot of the stuff, we're just taking information as truth instead of processing it through the lens of the Holy Spirit. And it is infecting our soul And some of us feel depressed and hopeless, and we can't even put a finger on why that is, but it's because we've taken in so much information and we haven't processed it through the lens of the Holy Spirit. So it's not glistening with the hope that God wants it to glisten to. And then finally, I'll end with the hardest one, if that wasn't hard enough. Living outside of God's boundaries is not going to produce joy in your life. It's the best way to say it. See, so many people believe the lie that, and we're prideful enough, again, to assume that we know how to live right, and anybody that tries to tell me to do something different doesn't love me, doesn't appreciate me, doesn't know where I come from. Well, I'm just telling you that sin is terminal. And God's been trying to protect us from the effects of sin since the beginning of time. He caused the Israelites to wander through the desert for 40 years, not because he was mad at them or disappointed in them or wanted to punish them or hated them. He was trying to get sin out of their life. Because he's like, you think that it's just a geographical thing. Well, if we leave Egypt, then my life is going to be better. But I've heard many preachers use this. It's easy to leave Egypt, but it's hard to get Egypt out of you. He said, you're still living in mindsets and with lies that are keeping you in bondage. You don't trust me. You don't rely on me. You think that it's going to be better back there. But until you start to live my way and in my understanding, freedom is not going to come to you. And so they wandered around, not because God wanted them to, because sin had to be purged from their thought process, from their life, because he knew sin 100% of the time. Whether you're struggling with something huge or something small, compromise always leads to death. So if you're compromising in an area of your life, then you got to know that the end result of that is not going to be joy. The Bible tells us that the wages of sin, living outside of God's principles and boundaries, is death. But it says the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Death is not joyful. If you're living wrong in some area of your life and you know it, get it right. Do yourself a favor and get it right. Get it in the light. And when I say that, I mean, you know, the Bible says that light entered the world, but people love darkness instead of the light. It's not that there was a bunch of Satan worshipers in the world that were like, no, we love worshiping goat heads, not Jesus. It was they love darkness because people are accustomed to living secretive lives. And sin thrives in secret. Sin thrives in darkness. But the Bible says putting things into the light will conquer sin because it can't live there. There's a power in confession. There's a power in your confession before God. This is where I'm not right and I need your help. And there's a power in confession to the people who you trust and you love, your family, that is messy and as hard as some of those conversations will be. In the end, it will lead to your freedom and your joy. To sit down with the people who care for you and do life with you and say, you know what? I have not been being honest. This is a huge struggle in my life, and I just need to say something. Sin thrives in darkness. It thrives in secret. So be honest with God about where you're at. Be honest with someone you trust and who loves you about where you're at. James 5 says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. A lot of your soul healing is going to come when you are brave enough and let God's grace come into your heart enough to say, this is my struggle, I need help. But what do? We keep it in secret because we believe false information and we believe a lie that if people ever knew this about me, I would be rejected. I'd be excommunicated from the family. I'd be excommunicated from the church. I'd be excommunicated from this friendship. But that is so far from the truth. And I'm sorry on behalf, if you've ever confessed things that are going on in your life, trusting somebody and their reaction was excommunication of you, then I'm sorry that you had to endure that, but that just means that those people were believing a lie too. That the only appropriate way to deal with sin in my life or somebody else's is to keep them away from me. But God wants you to come close to Him in your time of need, because then healing can come, grace can come. in your time of need. Approach the throne of grace with boldness, not in fear and intimidation, because when you approach His throne of grace, He comes to heal and restore. Relationship with Him and relationship with others. Is this good enough for today?
Yeah.
All right, can I get the worship team to come on up? We're just going to end in worship. We're going to end in celebration. Live lives that spark joy. Amen?
Yes.
Life is worth living. Amen. I just feel like I need to declare that over some of you. Life is worth living. There is light at the end of the tunnel.
Amen.
God's got a destiny and a purpose for you. And for some of you that are in the middle of the mess right now, in the middle of the stress right now, God wants to produce hope and joy in your life. That, yeah, it might be messy, you might be stressed out of your mind, but talk to Him. He's got grace, He's got strength, He's got joy to get you through those seasons of your life.
Yes.
And for parents, if you're like me and my wife right now that are experiencing family to a whole nother level, I just release grace over you to dad and mom. Well, even those of you that might have grown kids, maybe those of you that don't have kids, do you know that it's part of God's heart and His destiny for you to father and mother?
Yeah.
What I love about the Apostle Paul is his heart was so transformed, even though he never got married and he never had biological children of his own. I love the statement that Paul said. He said, I became a father through the gospel. And some of you are carrying burdens for people that aren't your own kids, but you love them and you care for them and you're stressed out for them. And God says, give the stress to me, cast your cares upon me, and I will care for you and I will care for them. So those of you that are carrying the weight of the world on your shoulders, whether it's another person's problem, another person's sin, another person's mess, Jesus would want to say to you this morning, come to me, all of you who are heavy and laden, and I will give you rest for your souls. I'm the one who's designed to carry the weight of the world on my shoulders, not you. Those of you that are stressed out of your minds about your home life, that are stressed out of your mind about this world and about this nation, and the only thing you can do is keep watching the news and taking in information, I want you to know Jesus says America is going to be okay. I'm not trying to get political. It has nothing to do with what side of the aisle you might be on, whether you're liberal or conservative or Democrat or not. People are stressed out of their minds on both sides because we've stopped relying on the source of life. It's never too late for anybody. It's never too late for any nation of the world. Whatever it is, if you're living in fear because of terrorism, you're living in fear because of leadership, you're living in fear because of politics, I just want to invite us as we worship today to release all that stuff to Jesus.
Yes.
And say, I'm not going to let this steal my joy anymore. I'm going to trust you, Father. I'm going to listen to your voice. I'm going to rely on my partnership with the Holy Spirit to speak life and encouragement to me. So would you stand with me as we worship today?
Storm louder and louder. You're gonna hear my prayer.
I just really want to pray over us, and I just want to break some things off of us that are unhealthy, that maybe have been attached to our soul for far too long. Is that okay to do that this morning? So if you're just ready to, I guess the correct terminology would be just to maybe end a partnership with something that you don't want to be partners with anymore. Maybe you didn't even realize it was a partnership, but you realize right now in this moment in the presence of God that you listen to this voice in your life way too much. Maybe it's anxiety for you. Maybe it's fear for you. You're just constantly rehearsing the worst possible outcome, even over things that haven't even happened yet. That is significant, because that means there's probably a partnership with fear and anxiety in your life, and God wants you to be a partner with Him. Maybe it's a partnership with poverty, where you're just constantly rehearsing in your head, this is where I'm just never gonna have enough. I'm never gonna have the home that I want, the job that I want. I'm just always gonna have to be scraping by. If you've listened to that voice over and over and over again, it's probably because there's an unhealthy partnership there, and the Holy Spirit is re-inviting Himself into your life today, and He's saying, today, before you leave this place, by an act of your will and your heart, you can just simply say, I end the partnership I have with this, that, or the other, and I renew my partnership with the voice of the Holy Spirit of truth in my life. Does that make sense? So whatever that thing is, and the Holy Spirit right now is probably just speaking to you, and you're hearing that whisper, and you're saying, it's totally this, it's totally that, I need to end that partnership. Maybe for some of you, it is insecurity. You struggle with relationships, whether it's a husband-wife relationship or even friendships, and you always feel isolated and you always feel alone, and there's that voice that just keeps saying, nobody's ever going to really appreciate you, nobody's ever going to love you, you're never going to have that deep friendship, you're never going to have that best friend. That's a lie, and you need to break that partnership with insecurity. So whatever it is, just simply hold your hands up as we end today. And we just say, in the presence of the Father, we end the partnership with fear, anxiety, poverty, insecurity, whatever unhealthy thing we have innocently tried to partner with. We release it to You, Father, and we just renew our partnership with the living God and with the Holy Spirit in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen? Amen? Amen. Well, we just again want to say thank you so much for being here today. Thank you for worshiping with us. I just declare freedom and a new level of joy over every family here in the name of Jesus. Amen. Have a great week. We'll see you next time.